The following message was recorded on Sunday, January the 16th, via Facebook Live. And that was because our service was canceled due to inclement weather. Thank you, and God bless.
All right. Well, I've got 10:10 now, so we'll go on and dive in, get started here this morning. So things are a little different here this morning. Obviously, we're not. Angie, I can definitely give an update on Heather. Sorry, I'm on my end, boxes keep popping up saying things, and Heather's doing well. We're still waiting things out. I told her this morning as we were walking her through the house, I said, "Hey, as if this is in your control, don't go into labor today, because it's going to take a little bit more than an hour to get to Chapel Hill if you do." So, but she's doing well. Thank you for asking. Please keep praying for her. She was really bummed that we couldn't get together this morning, because she said, "I didn't get to come last week. And then if we don't meet this morning and I have a baby over the next week," she said, "I might not be there for another week or two. So I don't want to miss church for a month." So she was pretty let down that we couldn't get together, as I know that all of us are. So this morning, I want to do something just a little bit different than what we had planned. You know that, and I'm seeing here from the chat on the side, you've all been with us for the whole series of the Resolved. I've really been enjoying that. I hope that you guys have. It's been a challenge for me, even just personally. And this week is certainly no exception, because this Sunday, we were planning to be talking about the subject of prayer. I say all the time, I've never met a Christian who says, I don't need to grow in prayer, I'm good with that. Actually, the opposite is true. Every Christian I've met, I think, always says, "I know I need to grow in prayer." But even more so, those who I know personally who are what I would call, what the people have always called them, prayer warriors, or just really praying people, they're readily able to admit, "I know that I need to grow in prayer." So it seems to me, from my observations and experience, that folks who are already pretty, what I would say, mighty in prayer, they're consistent in their prayer life, they're all the more cognizant of their need to grow in prayer. And that's what we were supposed to talk about this morning. But I really, really, after praying through the issue and thinking about it some, I want to talk about that when we're together, when we're gathered together. And so we're going to do something just a little bit different this morning. Be gracious with me, because what we'll do is actually going to be different from our norm. It's not necessarily a sermon per se. We always say, I said it last week, it's not a Sunday with Turner's Chapel if we don't open the Bible. So, and Turner's Chapel is not just the building, it's the people. But, it's when we gather together, we open the Word, so we can still take advantage of this opportunity to get into the Word together. So this morning, I want to kind of walk through with you guys something that the Lord kind of has been showing me. So it'll look a little different than what we're used to. What I want to do then is, if you have your Bible with you and you want to follow along, I'm going to be in 1 Thessalonians. Really, this, I joke around with you guys a lot. I said the other week we were going to go through all of Psalm 119, and you all, you had the right reaction. You laughed because you know that would be, that for the way that we move through books, that would take us a long time to get through that chapter. But we are going to try to breeze through much of the book of 1 Thessalonians this morning. And the reason why I want to do this is, number one, like I said just a moment ago, I really wanted us to be together when we went over the message on prayer. And then number two, over the last 2 years, for all sorts of various reasons, and we've done different things, we've created this environment where we call things like church online or a virtual gathering. And we know deep down in our hearts and in our minds that when we are sitting behind a screen, this is not gathering. This is not the norm. It is it's a good substitute. It's an alternate, but this is not gathering together. We can't necessarily carry out all of the one another's of scripture through a computer screen. I was thinking about this earlier this week on a completely unrelated subject, but how often we try to use things like online meetings and whatnot to be a replacement for regular involvement in the local church. And I understand where that notion comes from, but I'm just telling you, this is where my head is on this. I've been observing this for the last few years, and to call gathering online on a stream, to call that a gathering, it's kind of a weak substitute. And you know, I think about it, and you know, I think in pictures. And it's getting close to lunchtime, I think, in food. We would salt and sugar from across the room. If you just pour both of them into a bowl, they look similar. But, you know, you're not going to substitute salt for sugar if you were baking a cake or if you're making sweet tea. I'd like to see you eat that cake or drink that tea. It would be disgusting. While they may look similar, they're very different when it comes down to it. This may look like a gathering, but it's different. We're not together with one another. So with that, you know, I thought, you know what, let's do something a little bit more practical here. So this morning, you know, I had the opportunity as I was sitting here waiting for the sun to come up so I could see if it did anything. I sat down here and I read through the book of First Thessalonians, and that's what I did for my personal quiet time this morning. And I kind of wanted to walk through that with you all this morning. You know, a lot of times for our quiet time, for our personal time in the Word, we fall into thinking that we have to pull out all the commentaries, get down all your systematics, pull out your language tools or whatever. And that's all fine and good. You know, we all know that I'm here for it if we want to get nerdy. But oftentimes that we think, oh, I don't have time to do that, or you know, that's not my cup of tea, or that's not my speed, you know. And so we think, okay, then we feel guilty, I guess you could say. And I just wanted to kind of show you a little bit of like what my own personal time in the Word looks like oftentimes. You know, there are times in life where you'll go through a season where you may study through one sentence for 45 minutes in your Bible as your time in the Word that morning, and you still don't get to the bottom of it. And that's what I love about the Word. But there are other times where you can pick up and read through an entire book of the Bible and just notice God's put themes in it throughout. And so this morning I wanted to show you one that just stood out to me in my own reading of the book of First Thessalonians this morning. And we'll try to be brief with it. We've already been on here for just a few minutes together, but I'm in the house with Heather's wrangling all three kids this morning. So, you know, that's kind of a ticking time bomb. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, it says this: For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So, you know, I look at this, and that word there in verse 9, report. And then you also see verse 8, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you, but it's gone forth everywhere. And this is, I wrote down on the margin of my Bible here, I drew a star there, and I wrote newsworthy. You know, we don't have any kind of TV in our house, really, like network TV, but I know that right now today the news will be running nonstop, talking about the same thing every 10 minutes, right? And I thought about this, and Paul is writing to this church here, and he's saying, this is the word that's coming out from this church in Thessalonica. This is what's being talked about about these people. The report about these believers is their faith in God and how it's changed them. I love the end of verse 9, how you turn from God, or turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. And so what we see there is this newsworthy, or this faith that has garnered the attention of the world around it. And this passage, as I was reading through it, I had to stop and I thought about, you know, John 13:35, Jesus says, by this all people will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. And then he goes on and tells them how they're to love one another. Just as I've loved you, so you also are to love one another. And, you know, this really cool picture here, Paul goes into Thessalonica. You learn later in the letter that he went there shortly after he left Philippi. You read about that in Acts 16. So it's just after he leaves Philippi in Acts 16 that he goes to Thessalonica and he gets the chance to share there. But what happens is he talks about how these people's lives have been changed. But it's not just something that they have to talk about themselves, although they do. And he exhorts them to talk about these things, to share these things, to be bold with what God has done. But the world sees their change. The world sees the change in their life. I was recently talking with a brother in Christ, and it was cool to hear how he was sharing when he had first started to follow the Lord. What happened was his friends recognized the change in him. And these friends were saying, you're not the same person you used to be. I remember talking with one of their family members after the fact, and they even acknowledged, like, oh, it's not the same old person. You know, it's not the same person. It's completely different. And maybe you can relate to that. That's one of the things that always encourages me about seeing people begin to follow the Lord, especially later in life, as they do so, what happens is that becomes an evangelistic tool that God gives to them. His work in their life, changing them to make them more like Jesus, causes them to have opportunity to share about that with their lost friends and family members. But this is, like, really what we say here is Paul introduces this idea in chapter 1 of a newsworthy faith. Sorry, I'm not standing behind the pulpit, so I guess I get to grab my teacup this morning. But what does this newsworthy faith consist of? To use a big fancy term, what's the stuff of this newsworthy faith? What is it that we see marks off the difference in their lives? And so I went through, and in the rest of the book, you can see where Paul highlights certain things about them that stand out as different from others. If you look on at chapter 2, beginning, or look at verse 13 in chapter 2, Paul writes this. He says, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. And I would say, one of the first marks that we see of this newsworthy faith, of this faith that goes before us, is a willingness to submit oneself to the Word of God. And I think that this is something that oftentimes, you know, we can nod our head at, we can get excited about, but how often are we guilty? How often am I guilty of treating a difficult passage as something to try to wrestle, to try to just understand, but then I fail to submit to it? My fear is that oftentimes we can treat Scripture as something to be debated, something to just be known, but not something to be submissive to. But when we understand that these commands in this book, that the things that God has said are true, are the words of God, then it comes different to us. You know, if you knew, you know, the old situation that we see is, if you knew that God was going to sit down at your dinner table and tell you all these things, you would take it a lot more seriously. Well, he has. And so how ready, how eager are we to receive the Word of God as just that, the Word of God? Now, with that, I think that we want to be eager also to say, no, I will measure the Word of God by the Word of God, if that makes sense here. So we'll say, let me rephrase that. We'll measure the words that we hear to the Word of God to see what conforms to truth, because this is truth. So when we come again to the book of Acts, and Paul goes to the believers in Berea, and you often see, you know, if you want to see it, I guarantee you, if you go through and read through the WRAL church cancellations, you'll find a Berean Baptist or something like that. It's named after this group of people called the Bereans, who Paul comes and shares the gospel with them. And they essentially say, we like what you're saying, but we'll want to check the Scriptures to make sure you're accurate. And so there's an eagerness to receive the Word of God. But then we also say, we're not blindly accepting everything that somebody with the Bible in their hands says is true. We go back to the Scriptures and say, does it accord with, God's Word? That's what we need to do. So number one, a faith that is newsworthy, the Thessalonian faith here, the faith that goes before us, is marked by a readiness and eagerness to submit oneself to the Word of God. And we see it as just that. The next thing that stood out to me is, if you go through, now chapter 3 is really Paul's report of how eager they were to hear about them. He was concerned that maybe in his absence after he left, you know, that the church had begun to wander off into error. But then he's saying how excited he was. I love the command, or the, I love his excitement, and you see his love here for the church. He says in chapter 3, verse 8, for now we live, if you're standing fast in the Lord. And that tells us something, one, about how we should love believers, even in our absence. Paul has this great love and concern for the faithfulness of the church. But that's what he's talking about. Let's see what he describes this church as, these believers. What else is it that people around the world are hearing about? We'll look on at chapter 4, beginning here in verse 1. Finally then, brothers. So now he's getting ready to start giving commands. But I love it, because he's giving these commands to people who are eager to follow after the Lord. So it makes it a little easier for him. He says, finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, hear this, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. When, you know, so this is the second, what I'll say is a second mark that stood out to me this morning as I was studying through this book, is a faith that goes before us is a faith that readily receives the Word of God, but then two, it's a faith that walks. We don't content ourselves to say, I've checked off that box of goodness in my life, of perceived goodness. No, we're eager to walk, and he says that you do so more and more. We don't arrive at, maturity is not a destination. It's a goal, but it's something that we see. Maturity also realizes that we can continue to mature as we're here. And so we live, if you're reading along in your Bible, mine has the headline, A Life Pleasing to God. there's a desire in the life of a believer who is growing, this faith that goes before them, so to speak, to walk in a way that pleases the Lord. So, and how do we do that? Again, we go back to that first mark. We submit ourselves to his word. So it's not just facts to be known. It's not just neat stories. These are truths to be submitted to and followed. So we see that this kind of builds on itself, right? So there's a little bit of a building nature here. First, you submit to the word of God. Second, you walk in light of what it has said. And then third, what we see is this. As you do that, he gets to a specific area. We'll see a faith that goes before you is also marked by a genuine love. And what I will say is this, a growing love for one another, for the brotherhood, for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Look on at the latter part of chapter 4 in verse 9. I'll say the middle part. Now concerning, verse 9, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. I love this. One, he's saying here, this, I mean, this accords perfectly with John 13:35 there. By this, all people will know that you're my followers, you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. And he's saying here, you don't need for me to tell you about loving one another. God has taught that to you. Well, that tells us something. If you look at 1 John, throughout the book of 1 John, it talks about how a believer will necessarily love their brother or sister in Christ. And John's even so blunt as to say that if you say you love your brother whom you have seen, but or if you hate your brother whom you have seen, but you say you love God whom you haven't seen, then you're a liar. Because how can you not love your brother who you see, but you can love God? He's saying that these things don't match. Well, that tells us something. As believers, when God changes our hearts, he puts in us a desire to grow in love for one another. As we obey Christ, we grow in our love for one another. And this often despite our differences with one another. And believers, you know, one of the things I love about the church is this. We are so very different. I have friends who I have zero things in common with outside of my common bond, that we are both rescued sinners. And it's exciting. But one of the things that we see that Paul marks off, these Thessalonian believers are marked by, is a love that is growing for each other. Look again at verse 9, and I'll read verse 10 with it this time. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. So not even just their church people, but all the people, all the brothers throughout their area. But then he says here, but we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. So you notice here, again, just like maturity, we don't just arrive and say, okay, I can now just sit back and do nothing. No, we have a desire to grow in this love. So what I would say then is a faith that goes before us, a newsworthy faith, one that kind of catches the world's eye, so to speak, is one that simply receives the word of God and submits to it. One that walks in obedience to what the word has told us. And then one that causes us to grow in love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I believe that this is increasingly rare in our day and age. So what a great time for us to shine brighter because of the way we love one another, oftentimes despite our differences, but because of our one thing we have in common, which is greater than everything else, and that's the common bond we have as being blood-bought servants of Christ. So look, do you see these things in your life? So God, am I growing in my desire to walk in a way that pleases you? Am I growing in my desire to love my brothers and sisters in Christ? Am I growing in my love for your word? And what does my obedience look like? When I see a hard passage, do I try to find ways to get around it? Or do I simply say, okay, this passage has said this, and I know that that's not the case in my life, so I need to be in repentance. This is where we have to say, these are just simple marks that we see of this faith that has caught the world's eye here. I want to give you one more. And then we'll wrap up here. And it's from chapter 5. Chapter 4, verses 13 to 18 are really familiar passages. But chapter 5 builds on the end of chapter 4. Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And why is this the case? We'll look back at chapter 4, verse 14. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. So then you jump down to verse 18 of chapter 4. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So as believers, we're also seeing this. We're marked out as living with hope. We're people who live with hope, with eager expectation for the day that we get to see Christ. We encourage one another with that truth. We live in light of that truth. So what we see here then is a faith that is, it's hope-filled, not because of the current moment, but because of the day that will come. And, you know, I'm reminded of this idea here that people say, you know, some people say you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I've not yet met the person. I've not yet met the person who is so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Believers, the more we dwell on the fact that our King is returning, the more it will lead us to live lives of faithfulness in the present. In the present life, we'll live faithfully as we look forward to the day. I love, you know, this reminds me of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, and in chapter 4, he says here, beginning of verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. So Peter uses to call the believers in that he's writing to present obedience. He reminds them of the end of all things. And Paul is showing this to the Thessalonian believers. He's pointed out here to them that they are walking in eager expectation, in waiting for the appearing of Christ. So believers, you know, we also need to be mindful that despite all that's going on around us, this is not it. This world is not all that there is. There is more to us than what meets the eye. There is more to what's happening than what meets the eye. And we know that there's coming a day when Jesus will call his saints to himself and that he will reign victoriously from the earth here and that all things will be made right. We need to be reminded of eternity. If we live in light of eternity, it changes our living here in the present moment as well. So let me go back through, and this is all just kind of garbled thoughts from my time in the Word this morning, but you know, it challenges me, so I hope it's a blessing to you. Paul writes in chapter 1 about how the world has heard about these believers, about how it's gone forth everywhere. He's saying, I don't even got to talk about it. People are already talking about it. They know your life is different. They can see it. But what are some of those things that led to that difference? Number one, we saw in the latter part of chapter 2, verse 13, an eager submission to receiving the word of God as God's word, not something to be debated, not something to be worked around, but something to be submitted to. Then number two, the second thing that stood out to me as I was going through this is chapter 4. It's an eager walking. So not just knowing the word, but submitting to the word and obeying it, and with an increasing desire to walk in a manner that pleases the Lord. Number three is a desire to grow in our love for one another. A desire to grow in our love for one another. We saw that in chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Number five, that might be number four. Yeah, number four. Is a desire or an eager expectation, a waiting for the appearing of Christ, knowing that the day will soon come. It could come. Man, I hope it comes before the end of today. But, you know, we wait with eager expectation, knowing that it will come because Christ is alive and he has promised that he will come and call us home. And so as we do that, what happens is it changes the way we live in the present and the world takes notice of it. And what happens when the world takes notice of it is not that we just sit back and be like, you got to guess and figure it out. No, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3 that when we're asked about the for a reason for the hope that we have within us, that we can give them a good answer. We can answer them with gentleness and respect. This is how we start to get those questions about the hope we have. We receive the word, submitting to it as the word of God. We don't try to debate it or find ways to get around it. We submit to it. We obey it, and we want to increase in our obedience to the word. We love our brothers and sisters in Christ, even when it's difficult. We strive, and we ask God to grow us in that. And then number four, we eagerly look forward to the day that our King will set his feet back on this earth. So that's what, you know, I wanted to share that with you this morning. Sometimes it's, you know, as you read through a book of the Bible in one shot, a lot stands out. And, you know, some people don't want to write in their Bibles. I get it, but I'm a write in books, and I mark it up and write little notes off. If you don't want to do that, get you a little piece of paper and write beside you and just see how things are connecting. Because there's so much there. There's so much there. Well, I'm gonna pray, and we'll close out our time here online this morning. Do that again if you want to try to do that in your time this morning. Go through the book of 1 Thessalonians and find other things that Paul uses to describe these believers. Pick another book. Go through something like 1 Peter and see how Peter describes the people that he's writing to, and then just ask yourself those questions. Do I see this in my life? Am I growing in it? Where do I need to submit to on this? Hey, I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for the people who have the brains to come up with platforms like this. You know, this is a gift of God's common grace to all of us that we can do this freely. Enjoy your rest today. I know that for some of you, this is the only way that you'll rest. God does want us to rest. It doesn't honor him when we run ourselves ragged. This afternoon, I'm going to try to make a pecan pie and rest with my family, and hopefully try to get a little bit of rest before we don't get to rest for a little while because of the new one. But look out your window and see the goodness of God's creation. And even in this ice stuff, he's provided for us a means to be able to just say, okay, I'm forced to stay in, to lay around, to rest, to have a good time enjoying my family, enjoying the word. So let's pray. Father, you are so good to us. God, I thank you for, my church family, Lord. And I miss being with them today, Lord. Lord, it's not the same getting to sit here with my computer. Lord, it's just not the same, Lord. So I'm thankful that this isn't the norm for us, Lord, but I pray that you would, while we are here, Lord, we know that you have sovereignly worked out all of these events. Father, I pray that while we are in our homes or wherever it is that we are, Father, I pray that you would give us good rest. Lord, I pray that you would help us to, Lord, to spend time with our family, to spend time in your word. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the book of 1 Thessalonians. Lord, we didn't even scrape the surface. Lord, we just went through and made a few observations, Lord. But they're challenging for me, Lord. I know that, God, I want to submit to your word as your word, not as a subject to be debated or a problem to figure out, Lord, but as authoritative words that come from you, Lord, that I need to obey. Lord, I want to grow in my desire to please you, Lord. Help me not to try to comfort myself with any thought of having ever arrived, Lord. That's not from you, Lord. Father, I pray that you grow me and each of my brothers and sisters in the desire to love one another well. And Father, I pray also that as we have encouragement in the truth that Christ is coming, Lord, let us fix our minds upon the fact that there will be a day that you return. Lord, give us, make that be stamped into the forefront of our minds, Lord, so that we, Lord, are eager to share this with others, Lord, but also eager to share it with one another, Lord. Lord, in all these things, Lord, would you be glorified and make us faithful. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, I see one message here that somebody lost sound. I don't know if that means my stuff died, but I'm gonna log off here. So I'm gonna go make my pecan pie now, and enjoy the rest of my tea. Y'all have a good day and stay safe. If you need anything, if you lose power, if you have something on your phone and you can shoot me an email or a text message, do so. If there's anything that myself or the deacons can do to help you guys out, please let me know. But I love you guys and praying for you, and I look forward to, Lord willing, getting to see you on Sunday next week, if not sooner. Bye-bye.